This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Give the guest an option. You can have the chair or the couch.
I'll take the chair.
Interesting. Okay. Sounds good.
Set up. Get your mic all set.
Okay. All right, then this water will be mine, and that water shall be yours.
Are you sick?
No, why? No,
you just sound like you're a little cold.
That's kind of anti-Semitic.
I just love that any caring for you.
Do you hear my phone? My phone just, I leave that on because my alert thing is the sad trombone.
Oh, wow. Look at that cool outfit you have on.
Huh? Oh, me?
No.
Oh. Sorry.
He has a cool outfit.
That's Casey.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh, that's why you think it's a cool outfit.
Yeah, I like your colors.
Oh, shit. I brought this for you from New York, because I know that you love Splenda.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you want to open it here, or are you going to wait till you get home?
No, I can't put in my water. But I do love how patriotic Splenda has become.
Yeah, no, they are hardcore pro-USA.
So
they're
nice.
Patriotic.
I can just have a little flag in my pocket.
Yeah, they have a, it says blood and soil on the package, yeah.
Does it?
It does, yeah.
I don't have my glasses, but I totally trust you.
Yeah. Oh, here.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what, these are reading glasses.
Please. Yeah, that's what I would need.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what strength to you.
Let me see. I'm going to see if...
They have the Gadsden flag and blood and soil on the back there, see?
I do see Heartland.
Yeah.
Distributed TC Heartland.
Yeah.
Carmel. Suitable for people with diabetes. I do not see what you're talking about.
Oh, you got to read between the lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When you see Heartland, and TC means the Christ. Heartland. Oh. So, yeah, just connect
Christ,
the dots.
So, Heartland.
The Christ Heartland.
Oh, good. But
there's comma. I mean,
and what would LLC? Would that be like love?
Love, Louis C.K.
Love Louis C.K. Yes. Oh, he would love that. Oh, that's
Louis
great.
Owns a 51% stake in the company.
Does he?
Yeah.
Damn. Doesn't 50 Cent own Vitamin Water?
That's the rumor.
I'm not going to give this back to
you. No, you shouldn't. Nor should you. How's the family?
What strength are these?
I think they're 2.5.
I think I might have to switch because I think I might need them this strong now. I think I've been using a 1.5.
These are definitely above 1.5. Yeah. It's either 2.5 or 2.75. How's your family?
Really nice.
How old is Lloyd now?
She, sorry. The day I totally forget my daughter's age. She's 17. The reason
17.
She's 17, but she's going to be 18 this month.
Oh yeah, that follows 17 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They changed that recently.
Is today the day you found that out?
I think it was yesterday.
Oh,
Who were we with?
Who shared the news with you?
I didn't know it was a big deal. I didn't know you would take it like that. Fred Armisen told me about it.
Oh, that's nice.
So
she's doing great. We're going to celebrate her 18th birthday this month. And I was thinking on my way here, because I was trying to think of topics because I knew it was going to be slow.
Excuse you.
Just kidding. No, I was thinking that this month, because she was born the month after we were canceled, after Arrested was canceled in 2006.
Right. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. You don't think of the negative cancellation. You just think of Lloyd's birthday.
Yeah. Well, when people will often bring it up, like, you know, the Arrested was canceled or bring up the date, and I'll be, oh, Lloyd's birthday. They're like, no, uh-huh. Something else. And then it'll take me a while and they'll go, you know, Arrested was canceled. I go, eh.
Yeah.
It's more about Lloyd's birthday.
I like that. It's framing the narrative differently. Mm-hmm. So she was born, a month after. And I... Okay, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember me breaking down in your trailer?
No.
Yeah, I remember.
About what?
About, it was like.
You didn't want a daughter.
I did not want a daughter. And I'm so glad I can finally have this space to say it. Oh, I hope she doesn't hear it. It was like a month before, I mean, we were always on the bubble, but it was a month before the official cancellation, and I had just bought a house, and Loy and Martel was about to have Loy, and the show was getting canceled, and I was just I was spinning out.
I get
and
it.
I remember being. I have just this memory. I think Will might have been there, but just like breaking down in your trailer. I think.
Yeah,
I think
it was tough. I mean, it was tough in its own way for everyone. It was. It also seemed. It felt like we were being perhaps unreasonably optimistic that it would get, because they never liked it. Fox didn't like the show. And winning the Emmy was...
They do the, now, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's called money. it was... I think with a little bit of time, it was like, of course it was going to be canceled. They were just waiting for the time to cancel it. And when we won the Emmy, they had to re-up us for another year. And
what did you do? Didn't they give us something and you put it in the driveway of entering Fox or something?
Yes.
Like that?
It was. Well, let's go back. Let's start with the banner. That might be... One of the you would put
Which
that
is
in
on
a movie,
brand, but it's on brand with the show.
Yes, they. So folks at home, we shot on the Fox lot, which is a huge, massive studio in LA, and as you can imagine, and the studios take up tons of acreage, and they're big buildings, and on those big buildings, especially as you enter off Pico, are larger. Probably the largest billboards you might see. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking like the size of stuff you'd see in Times Square. They're on for their shows and their movies that are successful. And there's always, whatever the show is, like, congratulations to blah, 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 when the Emmys are announced, or Oscars, you know, depending on what the thing is. And, you know, House nominated for... 11 Emmy, whatever the thing is, and big, huge, congratulatory, you know, massive billboards. And when Arrested got nominated for multiple, I mean, a good number of them, they had put this little vinyl banner that was mostly string, right? Yeah. It went from at the entrance, right off Pico, and the banner only. It went probably, I'm going to say, 4 feet outside of the length of the security hut, right? And it was probably, I'm going to say, 4 feet tall and then wide, like maybe 14 feet wide.
Yeah. A Kinko's special,
yes,
I would say.
It was clearly. And it had the little Monopoly house in the font, Arrested Development, and then just, you know... Congratulations on that was it. It was this little banner that they strung up, and I mean, we were all talking about like what the fuck, you know. And then they gave us.
But I think I am now wondering, because there was that joke of Banner Michael. I wonder if they were trying to connect it now.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, but we all were like,
we all
got to second going, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And they gave us. They gave everybody on the cast and crew a congratulatory. What was it? It was so dumb.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember
chocolates or some shit like that.
I don't know,
like,
but I remember you put it next to, I think, the security hut or something
yeah,
on the
over
way.
By the yeah, I put it right down on the so you'd have to see it when you came in. Yeah. My little thank you cookie basket.
That was funny.
For a show that made them $1 billion.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
I'm also thinking the last time last time I saw you was at Sketchfest. 2 weeks ago, two weekends ago.
Holy shit. Wow, boy, did I space on that. Yes.
Okay, great. And
wait, what were you doing there?
I was doing a show with David Wayne, a magic show.
Oh, I was like fucking around. I think I was on my way out.
Yeah, but this, and I just want to break this down because this is the last time I saw David. So I come into the hotel, I'm checking in, and David walks up beside me, and I haven't seen you in a while. And I go, David.
Years.
I go, David. And he looks at me and waves, and then he walks towards me, past me, and starts talking to a painting right to my left and carrying a full conversation with a painting.
Yep.
And then I think, that's fun bit. And he turns around, walks past me again, and never says hi.
Yeah, I got on the elevator. Went.
And the guy on the elevator goes to his room.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that about sums
up. That was the last time we spoke, sort of. In sort of, a way.
Yeah.
Last time we were in the same. Yeah. San Francisco, Sketchfest. Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you have a good time?
I did have a good time.
Have you done it before?
Yeah, many times.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's so well run. And it's run by comics, and it's very artist friendly. And I'd say one of the best run of those festivals there is. And it's just, and the logistics are, I mean, how do you put something together like that? You take over the city. And there's very few.
And they survived through COVID
problems.
Too. I mean, there was a big concern that it was going to go down during COVID.
No, they do a fantastic job. 21 years they've been doing it.
21 years. And what were you doing there?
I did a couple shows, like David Cross and Friends and stand up. And then I also jumped on a couple things. I did Lane Moore's Tinder Live, which
what is
great.
That?
Oh, it's
what
great.
Is that?
She's fantastic. I highly recommend it. It's a show where she will get, she'll stand there as a little podium, connects her phone to a screen that everybody can see.
Okay.
And then she goes live, will swipe left, swipe right, depending on what the audience says.
Oh, it's her Tinder.
Her Tinder account.
I see.
And I've done it like 5 times maybe, and the very first time I didn't know her and I didn't know the show, and I think somebody had, you know, somebody, a mutual friend, was like, oh, you got to do it, it's great, it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't know shit about Tinder and apps and dating and technology. Same. I'm really an old man in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And so I get there, and it was at Littlefield in Brooklyn, and it's a small little green room, and I meet her, and she goes out to start the show, and I'm listening, and I'm like, and I've told her this too, I was about ready to walk out and go, sorry, man, I don't want to be a part of this. I think this is bullshit. I think this is exploitive.
Really? That doesn't sound like your brand.
but it was, I felt like it was... and I was ignorant to what was about to take place. But in my head, I'm listening to her describe it, and I think, you're just making fun of these poor motherfuckers who don't know they're being made fun of. I don't like this. This is nothing I want to be a part of. Mm. This seems like it's punching down, whatever. Mm. And then as I'm thinking this, she introduces me. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Okay. I get up there and I sit in my stool and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And then she starts, and it's not that at all. It's all people kind of hoisting themselves by their own petard, as it were. Yeah. She, you know, asks the audience. It's really fun. And she is really fast and really smart and really funny and always takes in a direction I would never guess. Mm-hmm. And she just gets them to, she only picks a certain guy, and then, and if the audience agrees, and then
so it's just one person she's talking about the whole time?
No, because she'll go, let's leave Liam for a second and see who else is there, and
okay,
oh God, you got to do Ezra, he's like working out, you know, with his, you know, it has a Chihuahua and Ray-Bans or whatever. And like, do him, you know, and it's also based on interest. And then she will, and she's an attractive girl, you know, so she's, they're seeing the picture going, all right. And then, and she just messes with them in a really fun, smart way. And they all, and it's only if they keep engaging because they want to get laid, you know?
I see. So she's engaging with them during the show. She's not just talking about them to the audience.
No, no, no. She's engaging. She, and you can see what she types.
I see.
And,
okay.
And it's really fun. And she's just so good at it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Lane Moore, Tinder Live. If she, and, you know, she tours with it too. She's, you know, makes it a really fun night.
Yeah, I love those kind of, there was one called Celebrity Autobiography that I did where we just kind of go up and read, like I read David Hasselhoff's autobiography and somebody read like something from the Kardashians autobiography. Mm-hmm. And just those kind of, quirky is not the right word, but that kind of niche I love, you know, like something like that or this. It's just, and you can just keep doing it because there's endless autobiographies, there's endless.
Oh, yeah. There's endless egos out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to tell their story. Yeah, I was talking to Lorraine Newman about that.
Oh, she is so cool.
Yeah, it was. I'd never met her before, so you know that was really cool. Like again, in the lobby of the hotel, and she was telling me what they were doing, and I was like, oh, I have and have read Ally Sheedy's book of poetry, Suzanne Summers' book, Jerry Butler, porn star in the 70s and 80s, fantastic book called Raw Talent, and. God, what else do I have? I have a whole bunch of those that I've read over the years. Go up.
That you mentioned the lobby. I love, that's what I do love about Sketchfest is like running into people like that. You know,
yeah, it's fun.
That's and what I love.
I love it, but I also feel bad for folks who are there on like their yearly vacation. Because it's just sort of taken over by comics. And comics, not all the time, but let's say 99.9% of the time can be very, they're all kind of performing and they're and they're loud and there's a lot of that stuff going on. So for anybody, you know, going, oh, I can't wait to go to San Francisco. I got the weekend and I've been planning this trip for a while. And then there's just all these obnoxious people trying to outdo each other and you're trying to get your coffee, trying to go to the bar, trying to check in. Just like, who is this clown?
Yeah. There's so many people. Yes, that's true. There's just.
Why is that guy talking to a painting?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, they did recognize you. And I think they did have the response of like, oh yeah, well, I get it now.
I get it now. Now I get it.
But it was like Kids in the Hall was in the, all those guys and the Kids in the Hall were in the lobby.
I love
it. It was so cool to just kind of see.
I mean, Eric Idle's walking around.
Yeah.
I mean, your heroes, legends are
totally
walking around, you know, and it is cool. All that stuff's cool. And it is, like you said, a great, you're like, oh shit, you run into people you haven't talked to. And I mean, the last time I saw you was probably Arrested stuff, right? I mean, after
I
that awful season 5,
I'm so bad with time. The last time we talked, I think you were talking about your daughter, and I said, "What is she like, 2 or 3 now?"
That's right.
And you're like, "Tony, she's 7."
Yeah, I have a picture of you holding her.
As a newborn
on the trailer. Yeah, like, well, she was probably, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe.
Well, that was when we were shooting the last season, right?
Yeah, so that was probably like, she was probably 6, 7, 8 months old, something like that. I'm not sure, but she's about to be 7 next week.
Oh. Yeah, but to me, that doesn't seem that long ago.
Yeah, you're way off.
I was way off.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember she was so little.
Yeah. Yeah, about 7 is, you know, it's just like, you know, whole new thing.
Do you and you guys live in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
And so she goes to school in Brooklyn or she goes somewhere?
Yeah, she goes to school down the street. Walk her to school every day.
Oh, dude.
I stopped walking her to schools on Saturday and Sunday because it's not open. And I just, after a few years, I'm like, what am I doing? This seems
nice.
You know, I wanted to get her in the habit of.
When you got, did you do it over and over to where you finally figured it out or you just kind of.
Multiple times a day, yeah.
Oh. And you would just walk up to the building and just knock?
I'd walk to the building, go, eventually they'll open the door.
Mm.
and then, you know, go pick her up at 2:40.
And then you guys waited for how long?
Waited.
For them to come to the door?
No, I went home.
Oh, you dropped her there?
Yeah, I dropped her off.
Oh, I see.
And then I go home. And, I see. You know, she has a set of rules that I wrote out in regular, not cursive, just. Uh-huh.
And was she old enough to read them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I hope so. She's 7.
Oh, yeah.
Well, about to be 7.
That's true.
No, she goes to an excellent, excellent school. I'm thrilled that she gets to go to that. It's a public school. It's down the street. About as diverse as you can imagine. Mm. And she's doing well. And
I love hearing you talk about your daughter.
Why?
I don't know. It's just because I think there...
I didn't seem like the guy kind of guy who would have
that. It's not that. I've known you for so long, and I've seen kind of different sides of you and different. I think you're an incredibly compassionate dude, and a very kind of. I think you have an empathy to you, but I don't think people associate that with you.
Right, right.
And talking about your daughter, you see that comes out more, which I
right.
like.
I get it. Yeah. Well, it's definitely informed a lot my last couple stand-up tours and specials and stuff. And, you know, people say, I'm as you might have seen, you know, I can be very cynical and pessimistic and nihilistic, and which are not good things to be. And I think it's just my nature. But when you have a kid, and I imagine you found this yourself, you can't afford to be like that anymore, at least for most of the day. You know, I am training myself to be more optimistic, to see things more optimistically. And because, you know, you got this innocent kid and her friends, they all, you know, everybody has play dates, and her friends are awesome. And they're just, I love kids. I love the, you know, just observing them, and you know, you just can't.
Because stuff will stick at the when they're.
Yeah, and I don't. I just. I'm trying to remember, you know, my own experience. Being a kid growing up, and I think that's part of what informs who I am, and I'm trying to present a more hopeful picture than the picture that I see, which is not hopeful, you know.
So yeah, it's hard, and I think it's the default being, especially with Loy, who's my daughter. I can go to a lot of what if scenarios now that she's driving. these narratives in my head of what can happen and not trying to live in that and go, you know what?
Oh, the dating thing is just, I mean, this is going to sound like a joke, but it's not. I was hoping she'd be gay because I think she would have a lot less, especially in New York and with all the people that we know, she'd have a less complicated life because, you know, guys can be just fucking awful. And and I don't think she is. I'm pretty sure she's not. And I was really like, yeah, I just that is just in the back of my mind going, oh man, these guys, you know what guys are like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I try to get comfort of you and me and our friends. We did the best to give a model of how a relationship can be and the respect and how, I mean, I've never loved anything like I love my daughter. It's a different love than with Martel and I, my wife. Yep. It's more of a, I mean, it's definitely much more of a protective love. And so she's seen that. She's seen that with you. And I just, it's, there's so much surrender and trust of just going, I just hope that she has that filter when she's, you know, choosing a partner.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, you have to let them individuate. You have to let them be their own person, and the more you kind of protest, the more it's going to drive them, know, and we all know that stuff, so you're just sort of rolling dice. Did she have a, you know, the teen period of rebellion and shitty behavior. And, you know, when they're, what I guess they're supposed to, for girls, it's like, what, 12, 13, 14, they're supposed to start getting.
Yeah, I mean, she, I mean, Martell and I talk a lot about those years when she, I mean, this is a very, people say this all the time, but when she's the one who grabbed my hand, when she wanted to stand beside me, when she could not wait for me to join her, to walk in the mall with her, you know, all this kind of stuff. And just stereotypically, Dad, can you drop me off down the street? You know, don't come in.
Yep.
Like,
you're my dad.
To the point where, like, her friends would be there, she'll look at me and, like, if you say any word, I will self-explode. And it's you, and I, but then there's the comfort of this is every process. You know,
I did it.
But it doesn't not hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, who the living hell are you at times? You know? Yeah, so, I mean, I do love that she tells things to Martell that she does not tell me. Like, her and Martell have a really...
That's great, yeah.
...great relationship that, I didn't necessarily have with my parent. You know, it's like, I had a different relationship, but I did not have where I was as open as Loy is with Martell. Mm. So I treasure that. And I mean, the fact that she doesn't tell me, and that doesn't bug me at all.
Yeah. You know? No, it shouldn't, yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I, for one, I've been in and out of therapy for a long time, going back to my 30s when I really, 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 really needed it, and it was great. It did wonders for me, and then occasionally I will pop back into it. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. And also, if you're truly thinking about it, just do it. Just try it. See if it works. If it doesn't work, fine, but do try. Anyway, BetterHelp is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/senses today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/senses. And you grew up religious?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And where you're from the South?
Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah. It was, I mean, religious /
not like extremist.
Well, no, like Southern Baptist. I wouldn't call it. I think religious is probably the best word to put for it.
Right.
Because it was definitely like a religious, maybe club kind of thing.
I grew up in, mostly in Roswell, Georgia. It was all Southern Baptist.
I forget that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's so easy to forget.
Southern Baptist, vast majority.
Yeah.
And it's, club is a really good way to put it.
Yeah, the spiritual.
I was not a part of that club. I was not invited.
Sorry.
Not, you know, because I wasn't even allowed near the perimeter.
Oh, it's just so painful. It was void of authentic spirituality, I would say.
Yeah, that's what I noted too. That's where a lot, you know, of
now that, and I can't just like anything, I can't blanket that to everybody. I think there were people that were standouts, but as a whole, there was definitely
100% agree. That was my experience. I felt that way about the congregation. Is that he? Would you a Jewish? No, I mean when I was going to temple and synagogue and stuff. Like, I felt that way about, there's just a hypocrisy, you know, and I definitely observed that because of the way I was treated, which wasn't cruel or anti-Semitic. I mean, there's like a little bit of anti-Semitism based on just kind of weird, archaic ignorance in a way, but.
But not being invited is as painful.
I don't know that it was, when I was experiencing it, I was a little older. By the time I was 10, 11, I moved back to Georgia. I was born there, but I moved back there when I was 9. And I think I had enough.
Where did you go in between?
3 places in New York and 2 places in Connecticut and 3 places in Florida.
In between what to 9?
1.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I realized it was a couple months ago. I was
Dave and I are just now meeting.
should we start, by the way?
For 20 years.
I was going to say, I just realized, I was trying to figure this out. I didn't go to the same... It was because... Marlo is, you know, now within her 3rd year at this school. Mm. So she knows people and all that stuff. Mm. And I didn't have that experience of going back to the same school with the same classmates until 6th grade.
Ooh.
And I was in a different school, in a different part of either a state or the country every single year.
Okay, let me ask you something. Do you remember any of it?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay, I had the same experience, and I don't remember 6th grade down. I say that because my brother has a similar experience where he doesn't remember, and I attribute that, I've always attributed that since we moved around so much, so I didn't make much of, because my dad was in the Army, so I didn't make much connection with people, so I just assumed, well, maybe it's just because I
didn't. Why bother?
Why bother, but that's maybe why I don't have a memory, but that's not your story.
No, I remember... I went to a really cool experimental in the 70s idea of experimental school in somewhere in Connecticut. I can't remember which one. I lived in New Haven and I lived in Hamden. I don't remember which place it was, but it was like very 70s with there were no divided segments of, it was like a big open thing, and you'd have, I don't know, 30 kids per class. It was all named after planets. So there was Mercury, and there was, maybe it was something to do with space exploration. So maybe it was like Apollo and whatever, but... perhaps it was Greek gods, and I didn't. All right, but anyway, it was. So you'd have these carpeted pits, right? And everybody, like, you know, Mercury class was up there, and over there is Saturn, and those are the kids. And then you would all be all together.
It sounds like a Montessori school.
Maybe I think it might. I mean, I don't know when Montessori started, but it was really cool. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really, really neat. And then I went. I had some pretty good. The beginning of 4th grade was in Syracuse, New York, and I was bused. My mom had us bused to an inner city school that was mostly black, as opposed to going to school, half a mile away, which was all white kids, because she wanted us to experience that. And it was a really cool school, and I liked my school. I liked my teacher. I learned about African American studies and things, and apartheid when I was in 4th grade, and And then I went to Atlanta, and the first school I was, it was finishing fourth grade, and the first school I went to for like a week was the wrong school, and they said, "Oh, you, this kid shouldn't be here. He's not zoned for this." So they had to figure out where I went and sign me up for that. So then I went to yet another new school, and then and that was terrible. I had a terrible experience. My literally overnight, in a sense, you know, from one report card to the next, I went from being an A and B student to C's and D's.
Aww.
And it was all because it was the most backwards, weird, you know, right-wing, conservative, weird shit that I...
So where was the Planet School you were talking about? Where
was that? Was in Connecticut.
Okay. And then after that, you moved back down to...
No, then I moved to Syracuse.
Okay.
And I was in Syracuse, New York for maybe a little under a year. And then... and then moved to Roswell. And then, so I was in one, I started going to this school, then like, oh, this isn't the right school. Then, oh, you know what? Because we were living in a motel for a month. That was part of it. So we had no place to live, and we had driven down there, I think, and that's quite a drive. And we got to the, so we stayed in a motel, like a shitty motel for a month. And I think that's why I was in this certain school. And then got moved to another school. Then that school finished. And then we got, oh no, this would have been before the school finished. Then we got evicted from our apartment because my dad never paid the rent. And they locked all our stuff up. Gosh. And they were the stuff that they were just tossing shit on the on the, you know, sidewalk of this apartment complex. And and I remember, I'll never forget this.
And you were how old at this time?
Nine, about to be 10, just about to be 10.
And you're, you have a sister, right?
Two sisters, yeah.
And they were with, they were all, you were all together?
Yeah. My little sister would have been maybe five at this point, and Wendy and I know that we got picked up at the bus stop, which would never happen. The bus, you know, it was only about a through the apartment complex, like maybe the equivalent of a four block walk, you know, nothing. And all the kids get, you know, the bus, the school bus comes, lets everybody off, and we all go to our apartments, whatever. And it just wasn't, you, there's no reason to pick up a kid. It's, you know, they're only walking for 7 minutes. And our neighbor, a guy named Peter George, who gave me my first album, Sgt. Pepper's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he gave me Sgt. Pepper's because I liked it. And he was like, here, take it. And he picked us up in his car. And as a drive, we're talking, it's like about 120 seconds, which was kind of weird. And we're like, what's going on? He goes, hey, so listen, your mom and dad are dealing with something. I can't remember exactly what he said, but the drive was basically to prepare us for what we were about to see, which was these guys who were repossessing everything. And my stuff, like my, I had a ham radio, which I used to love, and they're just taking it. And there's, you know, my little desk in my room was like, they just tossed it and the lake broke when they, you know, they're literally just tossing it onto the thing. And I'm like, I didn't understand, but I was old enough to understand like, okay, we can't live here now, and we don't have those things anymore. And this is reminding me of another story where this was in High Top Circle, which was in Connecticut, and I was in second grade. And excuse me, sorry. Let me turn this down here. And I was in. Yeah, that's true, phony. You're. Sense of timing is impeccable once again. I'll leave it on. It's just
your
fun.
Desk is thrown out.
So our car got repossessed But I was too young to understand what was... Mm. I watched it happen. I watched two guys come up, you know, Jimmy into the car and start. And I'm like, Dad, people are stealing our car. People are stealing our car. Oh. And my dad pretended to the point where he called the cops that the car was stolen. Yeah. And I don't remember if the cops were sympathetic to it for kind of wasting his time.
Do you remember thinking whether you believed him or whether you thought
I totally
it was,
believed him. Yeah. I watched two guys get out of one car, jimmy it, and then get in and start to drive it, and the other guy get in the car. We're in an apartment complex, which, you know, that rarely happens. You make your way into the depths of an apartment complex to steal a shitty car. And, I don't know, maybe Dodge Dart swingers were popular back then, but going, you know, but my dad was a pathological liar, like completely narcissistic. Nothing was ever his fault. He was the victim every time. Remind you of a certain ex-president, and I'm talking about Taft, obviously.
God, I was not thinking
study up, Tony. Okay, read up.
Apologies.
Anyway, that's enough of that. I didn't mean this is
no, I love
not
it.
About me. It's about you. You're my guest.
I have other
okay,
questions.
Okay, so let me I was remiss in not saying this up front. I ask every single guest this question. It's the first question I ask. I didn't get into it, but I'll ask it now. So where do you stand? Israel v. Palestine. Where would you can answer in any way you want.
It's so funny. I've actually listened to a few of your episodes.
Damn
I don't remember hearing that question.
I thought for sure.
I'm a bigger fan of you than you think I am. Oh man. Oh,
did you see the Bateman one?
I did.
Did you see Michael Cera come out? Do you know? I don't know.
I saw the Odenkirk one.
Yeah.
I saw, I just completely blanked on her name. Oh, come on, Hale.
Amber Tamblyn?
No. Who's that?
Joe Firestone?
No.
Janine Garofalo?
Yes.
Okay.
It was like, yeah. Anyways.
Well, that's her nickname.
I'm a big,
Well, that's one extra utterance.
I'm a big fan of yours, David.
Well, thank you, Tony.
I always have been.
All right.
Wait, so I did. I know you don't want to make this all about you.
But is
it okay if I have a question?
Yeah, of course.
Just since we were talking about parenting, is, there's your little one on your phone.
Yeah.
Can I see?
Yeah, this is,
You're like, that's my... Megan from the movie. Megan instead.
Here, let me get you a clear, oh, there isn't one. No.
Because I haven't seen, oh,
well, that's old.
Gracious.
That's probably, that's us upstate from... 3 years ago?
I thought that might have been Meghan Markle and the TV in the back.
No, I think it's a Toyota ad.
Okay. That's
good. Toyota-thon lady.
Oh, and she has a...
Tony, would you please stop it? That's my phone.
I'm just checking out your Ring camera and see what's going on. She has a little t-shirt called Love. That's sweet.
Yeah.
I think there's someone at your door. I'm not kidding. You might want to let him
in. I think you might be right. Here, I'll get a...
Do you need to take a break? Expecting a package.
Let me get a picture of her. Oh, here she is with our brand new puppy.
Oh, wait. Gracious. Okay. Look.
I don't know if you caught the beginning of that. She says, she just picked her up and goes, I'm Puppy Luther King. And I want to make... She did this on her own. Picked up our...
Oh, and the dog's like, can we stop?
Yeah. Well, the dog's racist. That's the thing. Luther King.
I remember.
What? Where did that come from? And I believe everyone should be judged on the content of their character and not the color of their skin.
I remember when Loy, I have so many videos of her going, okay, go. Okay, go.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, so this is my last, just since we were talking about parenting, I am curious. Well, two things. So why, because that sounds pretty traumatic, you know, so like.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's interesting how like, I had my own fair of stuff and it's like, I chose to kind of, I just don't have a memory, but it sounds like you have like a really distinct memory of that stuff.
Certain things, a lot of stuff is vague and kind of amorphous almost. Like, did that happen there or did that happen there? Yeah, and I don't have but there are certain things that are very distinct and vivid. And in part because it's the same thing for my sister Wendy and to a lesser extent, but still my other sister Julie, who's the youngest, who kind of checked out early. So Wendy and I would talk about, and I'm very, very close with Wendy. And,
she's the younger
middle. Oh, they're both younger
than me. Okay.
And she's the middle one and we're closer in age. And then Julie was, 3 years later after Wendy was born. And
again, we're just meeting for the first time.
Yeah, no, this is, anyway, I hope we can hang out sometime.
Yeah.
And how much does starting pay?
I was told that you're really looking for like pro bono.
Oh,
just to be an actor for hire.
Yeah, is that a thing?
Isn't it
a pro bono?
We've done a lot of actor for hire work. Or
yeah,
pro
but
bono
that
stuff.
Wouldn't. But pro bono. It's usually in the legal world.
This is an example of David Cross throwing out a bit question and Tony Hale not knowing how to respond.
You just need a firmer grasp of Latin.
This is our relationship for the past 20 years. You were talking about your sister.
You know, there were a handful of people that. Unarrested, that I really didn't get to do enough scenes with, and you were one of them. For real.
I just wanted you to go, there were a handful of people I really did not like, and you were one of them.
And we had a brief, if you'll remember, I don't know, it was for my story, it was there was like a three arc, mini arc, the Queen Mary So there was, that was, we were going to do a show and then you were, or, you know, Buster was with, Lucille too. I think it was sort of the beginning of that thing. And we got to do some stuff together. Mm. And I'm not talking about the season 4 and 5, which were their own different.
I don't remember what stuff we did together in the 4 and 5.
Four was, we had brief stuff in the, out on the pier. I don't know. It was all. Mm.
Is that when I was dressed like Little John?
Yes. such an arrested thing to say. Was I dressed in blue or was my head bleeding? I can't remember.
Was I in a light blue
peacoat? Was I in a big...
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
But it was fun. I remember we got to hang out for like, you know, the day or 2 days. And it was a treat because most of my...
Yeah.
A lot of stuff was kind of, you know, either with Portia or Jessica and
Jason
and Jason and kind of off on my own. My character would like meet somebody, you know, outside of the family or whatever, and so it was always nice to be able to have a little story arc.
And our castmate Carl Weathers just passed.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
That was a bummer.
He was so cool. Did you get to do scenes with him?
Yeah, there was a scene when he was dating my girlfriend Liza, Lucille too, and we had some scenes together.
Yeah, he's
a very,
great.
Very nice man.
He was really nice, really a pleasant pleasure to be on set with, and also just. I have such admiration for actors who are willing to be self-deprecating, self-effacing, kind of, you know, pop their bubble, as it were, of their persona.
Yeah.
And he was just awesome. He was great.
He was.
And, you know, not necessarily like did this, but two of the guest actors that I worked with were so fucking good and went with every riff. One was James Lipton. I have a whole side story about him. But he was phenomenal, man. Anything I threw out there, I'd riff and he would roll
in
with it.
In the prison?
Yep. He was great. And then who was the other guy? Tommy Toon.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. We did a scene in, it was a season four, and I'm in his office. I can't remember what the deal is, but I don't know what, I haven't even fucking seen those shows, but I'm just riffing, and he's going with everything. And it was like 5 minutes before, you know, the director came in and was like, all right, that's great. We got plenty. And he just rolled with everything. And
he had, what I'll never forget, he had the most, I mean, he's obviously a dancer, but he was such a tall man and such incredible posture. He just had,
how about his energy? He's like 80 fucking years old.
Yeah, and just a complete presence about him.
And just like, I don't know if it's like clean living or something, but his energy is, everything was, you know.
I remember meeting you for the first time and when we were kind of got together for that table read. And I had,
don't remember that.
And it was, we kind of were first meeting all the cast and I had kind of known your stuff and I was like, oh, I don't know how we're going to get along, how David's going to like me. I mean, we ended up being fine. But it was that sense of like, just kind of navigating, because again, kind of, I already said this, but it's like, you are a very kind guy, but it's, I came in with not knowing what that perception was.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, think I'm a, if you go on the internet, which, or, you know, social media, or all those things, Reddits, whatever, there are people, I mean, nobody knows me. But people who don't know me are like, that guy's an asshole. I've heard he's a dick. He's a, you know. And I'm sure I was truculent with some folks. But it's.
But it's not even, it's not, to me, it's not even that. It's not about the material you do. It's the.
Well, the persona.
Persona, but also there's, I think sometimes with comic actors, comic worlds, it's can be of a bit of a bit fest.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's sometimes in that bit fest, not only is nobody having a conversation, nobody wants to have a conversation.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Not knowing, oh, is this a person that we're just going to be able to have a conversation with? Just kind of that kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember this, but we were shooting the pilot. And we were all at the Ritz-Carlton or something like that, a Marina Del Rey, something like that. And you know, we had several days of shooting around there. Oh, it was Lucille's penthouse.
Yeah.
And so we were there for a couple of days. And we were in somebody's room, might have been yours, might have been Jason's, and we invaded Iraq. Do you remember that? Well, it was a thing that happened where the United States of America, Iraq is a big country in the Middle East, not the American Middle East on the big global thing. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's a perspective because you would have to be looking at it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Earth is round. Mm-hmm. I know you're a flat earther, but the Earth is round, right. And
now
so you could look at it.
We're talking crazy.
Anyway, we invaded, and it was, and I was not shy about my opinions on the matter, and it was tense. I don't know if you were in that room. I thought we were all in there.
I probably was. I genuinely.
You curled up into a fetal position and went under the bed.
It wouldn't surprise me. I was just, that whole year, I feel like I was just in a cloud of anxiety.
Yeah, why? It's a new.
It was new. I was very, I've said this a lot, but I was just I was very overwhelmed by, I was so excited to get the job, but I had never been on a lot. I had never, it was like the dream was coming true and just, and wanted to be in my skin, but wasn't in my skin. And I am not at all method, but I'm also playing this incredibly emasculated, defensive, terrified character. And I was like, well, thank God. But like, thank God I wasn't playing a confident character because I was just like completely, I don't know, I was just.
It's been a stretch.
I felt like I was not listening to anybody and I was just kind of in this anxious cloud a little bit, you know, wanting to please.
How long had you been in LA before you got the job?
We moved there for that.
Oh,
so
no kidding.
We got married in New York, and 10 days before we got married, the show got picked up.
Wow.
And we were like, oh, and Martel was working on, oh, as a makeup artist on SNL. She had been there for 7 years, and I was like,
wait, does she know my ex-girlfriend, Sarah Egan? She must.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure she does. We've talked about this, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because Sarah and I were together when we shot the pilot, and then for the first season.
Was she on SNL when you shot the pilot?
No, but I mean, she's been on there for years and
so,
won numerous
Emmys.
So
she had not started on SNL when you shot the pilot?
No.
Oh, okay, because Martel was finishing up.
Okay.
Because that's when we moved to L.A.
So, and there's, is Louis? Louis. Yeah,
Louis and Michael. There's a Michael
guy. All right,
cool. But like we moved right after the wedding. And so we were both kind of in this place of, okay, trying to, you know, find a place to live and also not really ready to leave New York just yet. But so incredibly grateful for the gig. Mm-hmm. And also just kind of coming on and being like, oh, I want them to think I'm funny or, you know, like all that kind of circling, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, it was just odd.
Did you have, tell me what your, how do I don't want to make this a leading question. Fuck it. I'll just say that my experience, I was just talking to somebody else about this, shooting the pilot, because I had just moved to New York the year prior, and I loved it. That's where I've been angling to get to New York. My what I had said to everybody was, I moved to L.A. to make enough money to move away from L.A. and never have to move back. And money or, you know, get in you know, a place in my career where I can do that. And I was loving my life. I was having so much fun. And then got this pilot offer, and I was really reluctant. I had to kind of be talked into it. They asked me to look at initially to look at Buster and Job, which I did not have a handle on, but immediately got Tobias, et cetera, et cetera. Went out to shoot the pilot because it was going to be reoccurring. I'd do like 6 episodes, and that's the only way I was going to do it.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting about that actually.
And then while we're shooting, like unlike any other project I was on, while we're shooting the pilot, going, this is really special. This is really great. This cast, who I didn't know half of, is amazing. The casting is perfect. The material's fun. They're letting us fuck around. This is going to be special, and I need to be a part of this.
I had no frame of reference. I had mainly done commercials in New York. And so I wanted a sitcom so bad that I was just so thankful to have, and the fact that it was good, I was like, wow, this is just a huge bonus.
Did you know it was good? Like, were there stages, like the script's good and the cast good and the shooting is good?
Oh yeah, I did. I mean, I knew it was different. Yeah. And at the time, Waiting for Guffman was like a really big...
And the Russo brothers were great to work with.
So I guess what I'm saying is I didn't have anything to compare it to experiential. I mean, what with any TV I've done, you know? So I was just like, wow, this is... Because that was my very first regular role on a show, you know? I didn't have like... Because Jason, you know, came from his career of... So he had a lot to compare it to. I didn't have that.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, at the same time, I'm just like, you know, everybody is so funny. And I think I probably was the one that broke the most, you know, but like Jeffrey Tambor, just how dry he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jessica would would throw the one-liners out in her timing, you know, and Jason just being the guy in the middle who's just having to bounce off the crazy, and Will's arrogance, and your just complete detachment as Tobias. I mean,
all right. Well, I can see that you're being sarcastic, and my phone has a sarcasm detector.
That is absolutely phenomenal. Did you not turn off your notifications?
I didn't because this is a recent addition, and I did it because my daughter loves it, and there have been good 4 or 5 occasions, and twice during these things where
we've had it three times,
there's a poignant thing, and then or you're trying to be truthful, right? And then it will pop in with the best.
So the first timing. One was when you were evicted.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Sad trombone.
Great.
But so I'm like, leaving it.
But like, but you're kind of complete. Well, here we go.
Somebody's at my door. All right. This is going to be a new feature of the podcast. Was I'm just leaving
the,
my
was
phone.
Was that
on.
The Ring camera again?
That, yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. Anyways.
My wife's getting some either tinctures, some oils.
Okay.
Unnecessary. I mean, it's all unnecessary. Maybe a special pillow for her ear.
Oh, does she have ear problems?
Yeah, no, she doesn't.
Oh.
But she just, you know, women be shopping. And my wife's
women
no exception.
Women be shopping.
Yeah, I close with that.
Anyways, I was wanting to give you a huge compliment because you the way you did Tobias.
That's not what we're here for. I don't even want to hear
no.
It. Stop talking.
I know, No. But your detachment of the character.
Have some fake grapes. Do you want some fake grapes?
I don't want any fake grapes.
Why are there fake grapes here?
Why
what is that for?
Set design.
But can you even see them? They're like nestled under a...
We can't see them actually in this frame. We cannot see them because it's a nice two-shot.
Well, I will say
right,
that...
so why do you even... You got something to be set dressing that no one is ever going to see?
On a wider shot. When
oh, okay. Those of you watching this and not listening, there's a plate of... plastic,
yeah.
The four colors we got: light green, dark green, purple, dark purple, and light purple, and they're all on top of each other. Mm. And
there's a color scheme going on in the room.
That is true. You're right.
Of a fuchsia, a green.
Well, it's grape. It's clearly inspired by grapes.
It's smelling right? Grapes. Neon grapes.
Yeah. Anyway, you're not allowed to compliment me, so let's move it to something else.
I know.
And you're all over the place. Oh, I want to say, you got to go from Arrested to Veep. Holy moly.
Well, not right to, there was a few years in between, but yeah.
Man, that's just, what a run, man.
Yeah,
that's
it nice. Was, yeah, I was, in, I mean, I...
That looked like just so much fun.
It was really fun, and it was... I think I appreciated it a lot more, having, you know, having been in the business a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I just... And do you know Julia?
Yeah, yeah. I did a movie with her You Hurt My Feelings.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's the number one.
Oh, and she was in Arrested. Remember?
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Here's the story about
that little.
So we were both asked on separate occasions if we worked together on Arrested, and both of us said no. And then somebody sent us a screenshot of us in a scene together talking to each other across the table. So we both blocked it out.
That happens. That happens a lot. You,
does
I mean,
it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'll be like, no, I don't think we've met. What are you talking about? I drove you to San Francisco. It was a 5.5-hour drive, just you and me, right? And
yeah, but I don't think that drive is like cemented in time on like screenshots and video, is it?
No, but it shouldn't have to be. You know, and that'd be weird to have a dash cam pointed at. If you're giving somebody a ride, you go like, okay, I'll give you a ride to, you know, San Francisco. It's
sure.
You know, it's minimum 5.5 hours if we just go up to 5. Do you mind if I videotape you the entire time? I think would be odd.
That would be odd.
But not as odd as somebody videotaping you the entire time and then not telling you. And they're going, here's a screenshot from when I took you. I'm like, what? What do you mean? I mean, I see it's a picture, but what do you mean screenshot? From it is a doc that aired. But not on anything major. It was like Tubi or something like that. So nobody saw it.
Tubi's crying in the corner after you said that.
Oh, Tubi.
Tubi. That wasn't nice, David. They're trying to gain their reputation. That wasn't very kind.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Veep. And then, oh, holy moly. I just remembered this or just realized this. You took up the chipmunk mantle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I did. We never talked about this.
No.
No. Oh.
How was your experience?
Great.
Okay.
Yours was not good.
On the third movie, yeah. The first two were fine.
Yeah.
And enjoyable.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
The third one was inexplicable. Phony. That's enough out of you. I'm being serious here.
Phony.
It was.
But David. Phony. David, let me.
Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody. Shit. Who was I in here with yesterday? Wait, it's up on the board, right? Oh, Scott. Talking about. Scott Aukerman, about when extremely nice, kind, genteel, pleasant people, you never see them get angry, but then when they do get angry and they go off on somebody who never says a bad word about anybody, and I know a handful of them, you're one of them, and I'm not going to bring anything up, but seeing you go off one time on this person was like, wow, I didn't know you had it in you.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Oh, I'm trying to think.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay, okay.
But
okay, okay.
It was, but because we shared, Scott and I shared an experience with the same extremely nice, this most pleasant sweetheart actor who, you know, just like, oh my God, you know, went 0 to 60 and what was really, and you're one of those people, I think. It's like, I remember Elijah Wood.
There was,
he's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, sure.
And super pro and very, just a sweetheart. And there was like somebody I mentioned in passing, oh, I was doing this, and he like went off. I was like, holy shit,
yeah.
Wow.
It's almost like if it's the person I think you're talking about, it's when the therapy tools run out.
Yes.
You know, so
and you become human again,
yeah.
Primal.
But you know, you've done the exercises and you're also trying to give the grace of seeing the brokenness in the other person and being like, you know what, I don't know their history, and that's when that runs out.
And that's what you should do. That's what one should do rather than just blow up.
Yeah, yes. And at the same time, it's I think there are ways to not let it blow up. This is where you can politely set boundaries that I don't think I probably should have set boundaries with for a long time. And then when something happens, that
that's
matches
true. It's like, it, to a lesser degree, but I'll have a completely imaginary conversation with my wife in my head about a thing that bothered me the day before.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm, you know, I happen to run errands and I'm happen to be just, I don't know, I'm not listening to music, and that this thing happens, and then it's sitting in there, and then the next time, a relatively innocuous thing, your reaction is, well, that's because you didn't fucking do the dishwasher right, or whatever the thing is, and you're like, and you hear yourself like, oh, that's inappropriate.
Yeah. You know? Or I'll do this thing where something will happen, I'll be like, well, I'm going to put that in a list, bring it up later.
Oh my goodness, Santa Claus.
Same. But it's just like,
wow, I'm just realizing the connection between Santa Claus and like communist dictators.
Can you go into that?
Lists.
Oh, lists.
Yeah, Franz Liszt. They all listen to Franz Liszt.
Okay. Right when you said that, I thought you said lisp. Well, phony.
That's
David,
enough of that.
I want you to pay attention to me. David, are you listening to me?
All right.
You still didn't turn it off, did you?
I did. Okay. So, air purifier.
No, feel free to read your emails. That's fine.
Yeah. Amber.
That's good.
Would you want to go to the premiere? Michael Jackson? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which
premiere does he have coming out?
What?
Does Michael Jackson have a premiere coming up?
Michael R. Jackson, the guy who did Strange Loop, the Broadway musical, which is amazing, by the way.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. That's one of the best shows I've seen in
It's called Strange Loop.
Strange Loop. Yeah, it's great. It won the Pulitzer and the Tony. It's what, phenomenal. He's a Mr. Show fan too.
What did you see this recently?
Oh, just now. The play? Musical.
Musical.
Maybe half a year ago.
Because I'm going next week to New York, and I'm curious.
It's not on Broadway anymore.
Is there anything that you have seen that you love?
No, I haven't seen. I saw a. I think it's gone now. A play called Wolf Play, which I really enjoyed at Soho Rep. My wife Amber's a big. She's on the board of Soho Rep, so she sees a lot of stuff, and she'll say like, "You got to go see this play. You got to go see this play."
Is her family? Where is her family, Amber's?
West Side, down the
really
down the 10. Yeah.
Do you guys come out here for holidays and stuff?
We have a couple of times, but now that Marlo's in school, it's a little different. And we'll for Thanksgiving every year we go to Atlanta. That's our big family holiday, and all my family, my family's still in Atlanta, and so we'll go to Atlanta for Thanksgiving, and then Christmas is usually we've come here, but it's usually either upstate or in the city, just because of scheduling and logistical stuff. But
we I think that's great here, so that Marlo can have those. We've done that with Loy going back and forth, and she's got really great relationships with her cousins and all that.
Her cousin babysits, lives in Brooklyn or lives in Manhattan. But that kid is well traveled, that's for sure, which is important, I think. And, seen a lot. She was on the tour bus. I mean, she's too young to remember, but when she was three, I want to say, three and a half.
What is the tour bus like? Do you sleep on there, right?
Yeah.
This is a dumb, I'm asking really dumb questions, but
it's kind of dumb.
It's come to a question. But here's my question about is if I'm in a car and I'm falling asleep, it's hard for me to sometimes think it's like a control thing where it's like surrendering to the driver.
Oh, absolutely. So you are not the only person who
has that. You have a hard time sleeping on the tour bus with kind of surrendering your, like how to get comfortable knowing that somebody else is in charge of that?
It's definitely something you have to kind of, you're aware of, but eventually you just do, and you try not to think of Metallica Def Leppard, and you just do. You get a 100% necessity, a must, is really good earplugs, like those kind of jelly ones that sort of mold, you press it in, it kind of molds.
I would think that's just one big white noise machine. You wouldn't need those.
Well, it's too much. It's too loud. And you're over the wheels, too. You're in the middle or the back.
God, is it like a bunk bed situation?
Yeah, like triple. You get three on, you get six on either side, depending on the bus you get, or six on either side.
And you just, after a point, just surrender. You just have to kind of not go into narratives of what could happen. Like, that's life in general.
You can take a book in there and try to, it's tiny. It's a little space. Yeah. But, you do it enough.
You do it on planes. I mean, it's like you're kind of giving yourself over to that.
Sometimes the drive is, you're leaving at, 12:30 in the morning, and you get to the bus and you're hanging out, and especially if you've done a show and you're all amped up and adrenaline's going, you have a few drinks, and I don't know if you bring a video game set or just shoot the shit or listen to a CD or something, and then you go to sleep, and then you wake up. And, if you have to go to the bathroom, you go, hey, can we make a pit stop or whatever? You still got 4 hours to go, maybe, before the driver has to go to sleep. And you hang out. You get to, and sometimes I make sure I'm up because we're going through the British Canadian Rockies, which are stunning. I don't know if you've ever driven. The American Rockies are great, too, but there's something the British Canadian Rockies are just that and a half.
And then do you, because if you're doing that, then you're obviously not going to a hotel, obviously. So then do you like take a nap in the bus before your gig or something?
No, because it's often, because, you know, the understandably, it's mandated by law that the bus driver has to have X amount of sleep. So you right. will get a hotel when you get in there to the city because he's got to sleep.
Okay.
Or she, or they.
Yeah.
Have to sleep. And so then there'll be a hotel room. Especially sometimes you're doing two shows, 2 days, so you'll have a hotel, and you know that happens quite often. They park the bus, and then you're, you know, I've also gone to the bus when I've had a hotel room because I'm like, there's more of my shit is in the bus, and I want to hang out in the bus. You know,
when do you go on tour again?
I'm probably going out in the fall this year.
And you go for how long?
I mean, it'll be however long it takes. It's a little different now that that Marla's in school, but I'll do like anywhere from 60 to 75 shows in the U.S., and then I'll do like 6, 7, 8, 9 in Canada, and then 8, 9, 10 in Europe.
Mm. Gosh.
Yeah.
I was in Italy for 6 months last year.
Nice.
On a job.
And wow. What was it?
It was called the Decameron. It's a limited series that takes place.
Wait, based on the film? Oh, wow. Cool.
And it's really great. But it's that travel. I mean, I've done.
Where in Italy?
Rome.
Oh, wow.
And
gosh,
the
best part of this job, I'd say.
Yeah. But the reason I said yes, and it was amazing, but with the family, it's like, that was tricky.
Sure.
Because usually when I've done gigs that are out, you can always fly back on weekends or every other day or something like that. Being that far away was definitely, that was a little tricky to navigate. And I'm excited because Lloyd's graduating high school this year. I was really thankful that because you never know when jobs are going to come. I was really thankful to be home for her senior year. But when she graduates, it's going to be nice because Martel can travel with me a little more, you know.
Sure. Is she going to go to college? Or?
She's kind of right now waiting to, I think it's March when she hears from all.
What is she interested in?
She wants to do elementary education.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great, great, great.
Really sweet.
So, Tony, I end every episode. As you're well aware,
is this the census thing?
The census thing.
The name five senses?
No,
because didn't you have it? You have yet
name
to
name five senses,
or not name five senses?
That why your would favorite, I? Who
your favorites? Your favorite spell? No, because you haven't gone to that. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. So I end with a question from my daughter Marla.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
But also, you can name the five senses if you want.
Shut up.
It's fun.
Shut up. It's not fun because you haven't done it.
Just naming them is fun.
No.
See, hear, touch, smell, taste. Ha ha ha. That was fun.
Oh, okay. Do you remember this? Do you remember being on tour in, not tour, we were doing a publicity situation, and I want to say like Denmark or something like that. And you and I were doing an interview, and you started running around the room.
No, I have no.
I don't remember a lot, but I remember this. You and I were in an interview, and these people could have cared less about Arrested Development because no one, but they sent us to Europe to do press for it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we did Copenhagen and Stockholm. I remember
that. Yes. And so we were in a room, and you were just like, why are we here? We were both like, why are we here? They don't care. We don't care. I mean, all this kind of stuff. We were getting a nice, you know, trip. And in the middle of you started running around the room and then hiding behind the couch and making noises. I'm not kidding.
I don't remember.
And I was
that.
Like, well, this is probably the thing that we need. This is going to get us at least attention.
Well, that kind of behavior started with Bob Odenkirk and I, when we were doing press for Mr. Show, which was the first thing I ever had to do press for. We had a rule that if it was clear that the person interviewing us didn't know the show, didn't know us, didn't know anything about it, then we would just fuck around. And I've been doing that for a long, long, long time. There's something on the internet. I think I brought this up before, but somebody, Derek Waters, sent it to me, I believe.
He's a nice man.
Yeah, he's great. a clip of me doing EPK for Kung Fu Panda where the person didn't know what anything about it. So I was just making crazy shit up about what the movie was about a dentist who can fly and it starts live action and then becomes anime and all this. And they're like, oh, wow, interesting. And it's like 15 minutes long of nonsense and it's somewhere out there. But okay, so here is the question.
Okay.
Tony Hale.
Yeah.
From Marlo.
I love that you do this.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Where do clouds come from?
That's a great question. And, I would say moisture in the, okay. It's kind of a, when you,
you're having a tough time with this.
No, I know.
Where'd you go to school?
I did not actually. I'm self-taught. it's so, hold on. You know how water can be steam, ice, or
got one left. Got one left.
Steam, ice, or just water?
Sure.
It's a liquid. Form of liquid. Yeah. It's the form of that. This is how much David Cross makes me nervous.
Why? It's a question from my daughter.
It is a form of that in the sky.
So it's ice. It's water.
No, it's like a form of condensed moisture steam in the sky, something like that, on a high elevation.
Dude.
Why did you have to give me like a serious science question?
You want a different one?
Yes.
Okay. You're the first person to
Shut
get
up,
two.
David Cross.
All right. Here's
oh, God. This is my nightmare. Okay, I'm sweating. I'm seriously sweating.
I will skip this one.
No, skip whatever scientific, political.
Okay. Well, I won't give you this.
God. I'm genuinely sweating. Oh, God.
Okay. Well, that's a sciencey one. Here's one. This is a good one. This is a good one.
I swear to God, if this... Okay.
And I usually pick one out, you know, based on the person, but So this isn't... Here, I'll just say it, okay?
Is it the most shame-based one you have?
No,
that's
no.
why you picked it for me?
No, I've skipped over a lot of...
Great. You
know, scientific-y ones. All right, ready for this? This is a good one.
Sure.
This is a good one for you.
Sure, okay.
What does love look like?
Oh, I do like that one. That is nice. Aw, okay. That's also hard to explain. That's sweet. Love looks like... Oh, I love that she asked that. I just have to keep saying that. What does love look like? It is when you can see someone... the care in their eyes for someone else, and they're putting someone else's needs before their own in a very beautiful and healthy way.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tony Hale. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure as always.
Yes.
To see you. And I really enjoyed this.
That was so nerve-wracking, that cloud thing. You know, recently I was at a party and somebody asks me like a trivia question and it's every middle school anxiety terror just floods my body. And I'm like, oh God, it's like you're naked on a stage. That's the actor's nightmare.
So what do you like at a pub quiz? You must be...
I don't go. I will never go on Jeopardy. I don't go to those
things.
That's
a bit of a leap. Nobody's asked you to go on Jeopardy.
I won't go to those.
I won't go on Jeopardy. Okay.
I was asked okay. to do...
Oh, like Celebrity Jeopardy.
Celebrity Jeopardy, yeah. And I said no.
Now I want to see one. Now I want to see one.
No way, I'm not doing that.
Senses Working Overtime is a HeadGum podcast created and hosted by me, David Cross. The show is edited by Katie Skelton and engineered by Nicole Lyons with supervising producer Emma Foley. Thanks to Demi Druchin for our show art and Mark Rivers for our theme song. For more podcasts by HeadGum, visit HeadGum.com or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and maybe we'll read it on a future episode. I'm not going to do that. Thanks for listening.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey guys, just announced a big show in Central Park on the Summer Stage, part of the Summer Stage series, called David Cross and Super Pals. That's going to be August 8th. It's going to be amazing. Got all kinds of really cool special guests. I know we got Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Silverman, Sean Patton, Fred Armisen, many, many, many more. Go to officialdavidcross.com. That'll have all the information for that. And the pre-sale, it just went out, and the pre-sale code is FUNFUN. I believe it's all caps. FUNFUN. David Cross and Super Pals. August 8th, Central Park. Come down.